Well, today I want to finish up my Pressing On series. This one is Run Your Race to Win. That's the title of what we're doing today. Philippians 3:12-14, of course, is our basic scriptures. Philippians 3:12-14. This is number 5 in the series and the final one. Run Your Race to Win. Philippians 3:12-14. I'm going to read out of the NLT, okay? I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God called through Christ Jesus is calling us. Now here Paul is talking about pressing on, reaching out to end the, to run his race till the end. Here we need to compare our living our Christian lives and fulfilling what God has for us to do by running a race. And this is not a sprint. This is a long distance race, a marathon, so to speak. You know, now I run track when I was in high school, and I was a sprinter. I did not like to run. I didn't like to run over 400, and well, back then it was yards. It was 440 yards. I didn't like to run more than that. And all I usually run with the 220 and the 880 relay. Occasionally I would run one of the other races. But that was my main races. And that's what I like to do. But if you're going to endure in this race, it has to be, you have to run the marathon. It's sort of like, if you've ever watched track, it's sort of like the steeplechase, I think they call it, where you jump in water and you jump over stuff and all kinds of obstacles. Anybody ever watch that in the Olympics? Well, that's sort of like our race, our Christian race here. We're having to go over obstacles and jump over stuff and endure. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Hello. You know, in the Word of God, it talks about back there when David was the king, and they were out at battle, and so the head general of the battle, he sent a guy back because they didn't have any kind of communications like that anymore. It was just verbal communication. And so he sent a runner back with a message to go tell the king. Well, this other guy wanted to run. And so finally he persuaded, he said, okay, run. Now he was a faster runner and he got there before the other guy did. But when he got there, he didn't have nothing to say. And so the king said, hey, stand aside. It's one thing to run the race with something in mind and with a message, and another thing to run the race and just cause you're running. You know, there's some people that when I was playing ball and in school and stuff, and some of you guys, and the girls, I guess, ladies, same way, there were some people that played to play the game. And there were other people that were just out there just to be on the team. They didn't care whether they ever got in the game or not. Did any of y'all have anybody, people like that on your teams? I got one guy there. I got some hands over here. They just wanted to be on the team and wear the jersey. Well, if I'm going to wear that jersey, I want to get in the game. Hello? Hey. When we get in this Christian race, living for God, it's not just to be in the race. It's to do something. It's to accomplish. And we can't get to the place where we think we've accomplished. Paul said, I mean, he wrote this at the end of his journey, and he said, I don't think that I've already achieved. There's still more. See, you know, as you run in a track race, they assign you a lane. And you got to stay in that lane. And if it's an endurance race, after a certain length of time, then you can break lanes and go come down. But if you're racing in a sprint race, there's a lane. You got a lane to stay in. If you get out of that, you'll be disqualified. Now, in the endurance, like a marathon, there is a course. And that course is set up, and it's marked along the way. Any of you ever run a marathon? Oh, I got something. That course is marked, and you got to stay on the course. Can't take no shortcuts. You know, you can't go around the hill. You got to run up the hill. See, there is a course you stay on, or a lane you stay in, you run in. See, God has a plan, and God has a place for each one of us, and he wants us to make a difference where we are running our race. Just don't be there to run. Make a difference. See, 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, 1 Corinthians 12:18, New King James. 1 Corinthians 12:18, New King James. But God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he had pleased. He has assigned you a place in the body of Christ to run your race. That's where you will be effective. He has realized that that's where you will be effective. And if you want to be effective as you run your race, you got to stay where he's got you. I don't care if you want to do something else. You know, as you play ball on a team, the coaches, they look at your talents, they look at your skills, and they put you where you can do the best to help the team. Don't you think that God is smart enough to put each one of us where he knows that we can do the job? There are a lot of people that, because they want to do something else, they go over here and they try to do it. They mess themselves up and mess up a whole lot of other people because they get out of their course. They're running the race, but they're not running where they're supposed to. Oh, y'all are not amening that very much. Because now I'm starting to put some responsibility back on you to stay your course and to stay where God's got you. And run the race the way you're supposed to. See, Paul, of course, he was a very traveled and a very learned man. But as he's talking about races and as he in his writings, you can see that he was probably a fan of the Olympics because they had them going on back then. They had them before here. Now, see, there he was. He is talking about the race that he's running. Each person has a place. Each person on the team has to do something. You know, when I was on track team, now Chuck Farr, he was a big old burly guy, and he threw the discus and the shot. Well, he was probably 6'1". He probably weighed 250. Now, I am 6'2", 145. You don't put me over there throwing the discus and the shot because that's not my talent. I can run, but he couldn't run. I mean, he could run, but I mean, he might as well not run if he's going to run in a race, because unless he's running in a slow man's race.
He might win a slow man's race.
Because that's not where I fit on the team. They don't try to make a runner out of him. He don't fit there. Hello? Each person on that track team had a race to run because that's where their talents had them accomplishing the most for the team. Did you know we had some other guys that was fast, but they tried on the relay team and they never could get the handoff right. And that is at least 50% of winning a relay race is getting the correct handoff. How many of you ever run relay races? I mean, you can be fast as everything. If you can't get the handoff correctly, you're not going to win. And they couldn't master getting the handoff right. One guy, he was pretty good, but he did not know how to pace himself to get the handoff before he got out of the exchange zone. And we tried to tell him, "Hey, you got to just slow down a little bit." Well, he said, "Okay." And then the guy would holler for him to go, and he would take off. But he'd take off too fast. The guy couldn't catch him before they got out of the exchange zone. You see, there's a lot of people that may be equipped to do other things, but that's not where they're going to fit the best. So the coach, the Lord himself, he puts us where we can accomplish the most for the kingdom and for ourselves, because he wants us all to be excited. He wants us all to be successful. You see, now, as he has set us in our spot to do what we do, now we can't compare our race or our spot on the team with anybody else, because it's different. Everybody's race is different. Even if we run in the same race, I can't compare myself to Ben. That was one of my teammates that I ran with, or Roy, or Dick. Either one. Those were the three guys on our relay team. I can't compare the way I run to the way they run, because they got a way of doing it. I have a way of doing it. Don't compare even if you're doing the same thing, don't compare yourself, because they are them and you are you. And there are a lot of Christians and a lot of ministers that have lost out because they got the disease of comparisonitis. A lot of business people sometimes lose out because they start comparing themselves with their friends. Hey, so what? That's what they do. This is what we do. I've had people say, a lot of times they say, "Well, they're doing this, or this church is doing this, or this church is doing that." I said, "Good, praise the Lord, but we're Rhema. We do what Rhema does." Hello? Thank God for the others. I think that we've got too many church clones right now. You go into church, this one. You go in this one, same thing. God don't want all the churches to be clones. He wants us to have our own race that we run, because we are ourselves with him doing what he has told us to do. Nothing against anybody else. But we do it here. In fact, Craig was somewhere and somebody, he heard them talking, and they said, "Well, you know, they don't do that at Rhema anymore." And Craig looked at him and said, "What difference does that make?" See, just because we don't do it, it's no sign they have to quit doing it. Have you ever noticed that people try, you know, monkey see, monkey do? Hello?
That may not have fit there, but I thought it did.
Hey, you see, I'm just me. I don't let people all the time comparing me to my dad. I'm not my dad. Now, I do a lot of things like him, and I may, as the older I get, the more I look like him. And I do a lot of things, but I don't preach like he did. He was him. I'm me. I'm running my race the way God wants me to run my. Craig over here, he's Craig. He preaches the way he preaches a little bit more like his papa than I do. But you see, he's him. He's got him. And that's what I want each of you to realize is that God has you in the kingdom. You're doing what you're supposed to do, where you're doing it, making a success for yourself and God. That's the point I want to get across to you. Anybody getting it? You know, we need to run where we're called to run and stay in our place because people are dependent on us. Our family depend on us because if we get out of place, things start going wrong. Your prosperity depends on it. Because God can't bless you when you're not where you're supposed to be. Your friends, your acquaintances, they're dependent on you also. You know, for your own spiritual sake, stay where God's got you. I don't like it. Well, I'm sorry. When I was playing ball on teams, I played a lot of positions I really didn't want to play. But the coach said that's where he wanted me. So that's where I played. Hey, I sort of thought like this. If I want to play, I better play where the coach wants me. If you want to do something for God, you better do it where God's got you. If you stay where God's got you, till he tells you to move, then maybe he'll put you where you want to go. I never really wanted to preach. I didn't want to go into ministry. I was raised in the preacher's home. I remember him knocking on the door. Brother Hagin, we was cleaning out the cellar. You kids don't know nothing about it, but that's where people used to have cellars and they'd can their stuff and they'd save it. You know, can during the season, they'd can the beans and all of this kind of stuff. How many know what I'm talking about? We clean it out the cellar, and this is last year's stuff. We thought maybe you could use it. Some of it was spoiled. And I'd seen him get knocked and, you know, called everything but right. And I didn't want nothing to do with it. But that's what God kept putting on my heart. And finally I said, okay, and here I am today. That's not what I wanted to do. You don't always get to do what you want to do, but if you do what God's got you doing, you'll be happy. Amen. See, don't allow anything to hinder you from your race. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, it was last week in 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, I read to you all of the things that Paul endured. And now he says, I let none of these things move me. He didn't let anything move him out of the way. Didn't make no difference if somebody said, oh, I don't think that's what you're supposed to do. I've had that happen. I've had some people come to me and tell me the Lord told me to tell you to do such and such. I looked at him and said, when he tells me, I'll do it. Now, they don't like it when you do that. But let me tell you why. If the Lord tells you somebody to tell you about something, it will be something that he is already dealing with you about. If they come to you with something that off of the wall, you need to put it on the shelf and forget it. Come on now. You see, don't let anything hinder your race, any of the obstacles, your past. Your body may get tired and you feel like quitting. The opinions and vice of the others will try to keep you from running your race. And of course, the enemy gonna bring every difficulty and hardship that he can throw in your way. There are gonna be accusations and criticisms and persecutions. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, the hat, and everything else, and went on down the road. I don't care what they say. 99% of it ain't true anyway. See, if you let what people say bother you, you can forget it. You know, getting uptight. You know, a lot of guys, they got a lot of talent on the team, but they get up so that they actually don't play good. See, you can do that in your race for God. Just relax and run the race. I mean, when I went to play, I'm intense, but I'm not so worked up that I can't perform properly. I've been on teams with people, and before the game, they're throwing up. They're so into, hey, I thought, relax, just enjoy it. Relax, enjoy the race that you're running with God. Don't get uptight about it. Hey, whatever, you know, things are going to happen. Walk over the top of them. He said you'd go through the obstacles. He said in John that you're going to have some trials and tribulations. Right? Last chapter of John, there, down there about the last verse, close to the last verse in the last chapter of John. He said, in this life, you're going to have trials, but I've told you all this because I have overcome. See, you just keep on walking over the top of them. I think Miss Lynette's got something there she calls Using Stumbling Blocks as Stepping Stones. Is that a book you got? That's a book she's got. Hey, huh? A CD. Yeah, a CD she's got. Hey, when the devil throws a stumbling block in your way or an obstacle, just walk right over top of it and keep on going. Enjoy your race. You know, joy is an indicator. When you're enjoying yourself, it's an indicator you're having a good time. Have a good time serving God. It's not a time to get up all tight. Oh, hope I can do this right. Hey, just know what the Word of God said. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and keep on running your race till you get to the end. Don't quit. Keep on going. See, it's a long distance race. It's till the end. I got a sermon I preached one time at camp meeting. I don't think I've ever preached it again. This ain't no 8-second ride. Anybody remember me preaching that sermon? I got that from the rodeo. You know, I grew up down in Texas where they got rodeos. Hey, all you got to do is stay on that bucking bronc for 8 seconds or on that bull for 8 seconds. That's all you got to do. This ain't no 8-second ride. This is an endurance ride. And you may get bucked around and tossed around, but hang on, because the reward is great. Sometimes you need to learn to say no to some of your desires and some of your ideas. It may not be a God idea. If it's not a God idea, say no to it. Hello. You know, so I think some Christians are like kids. You know, you're going somewhere and they get all excited about going. How many parents or grandparents I got in know what I'm talking about? And you hadn't been gone very long, and they say, are we there yet? When are we going to get there? Oh, it's going to be a while. Oh. And then you're driving and they see a sign that says something about something. Oh, let's stop here and see this. Hello? No, we got to go. I think too many Christians are stopping along the way when the devil puts out a sign over here, and they're stopping along the way and hindering their travel. How many know what I'm talking about? Hey, you know, Paul give us about six things in these scriptures from Philippians 3, 10 through 14. I'm not going to read them again for you because I'm running out of time, but you can read the scriptures. But here's the things. Know what you're running toward. It says here he was running toward the prize. Hello? Know what you're running toward. You got to realize no matter where you are, what's going on, he's in prison when he's writing this. You got to realize you're still in the race. You're still in the race. And then he stayed focused on what it was that God gave him to do. And then he forgot everything that's behind. Now everybody wants to say, oh yeah, he forgot the bad. No, he had to forget the good part too. Not only did he have to forget that he persecuted Christians and that he was holding the coats when they stoned Stephen, he had to forget that he had the first mega church in Ephesus. 20 to 40,000 members, they say. See, you forget what's behind. Because what's behind is history. It's already happened. It can't be changed. So you run the race that's ahead of you. And you reach for the goal. And you make every effort for it. You know, when you play first base, I started out on my speed as an outfielder, but finally I played so long because I wanted to play with my son and ball, and I moved to first base. And I learned that you gotta stretch out, get way out there, far as you can. That's a pretty good stretch for a 77-year-old. And I could still go a little further. But if I can get that ball, the minute it hits my glove, the guy's out. I stretched out so far one night. And some of y'all know Delbert because you prayed in the intramurals here at Raymond. Delbert, he was calling first base. I was stretched out so far I had to fall over and roll over and get up. I couldn't pull myself back up. And he said out. We had a double play. And before I ever rolled over to get up, I looked up at him and I said, Delbert, was he out? And he said, I don't know, but it looked too good for him not to be. Because I made an effort to stretch, I got the call. What I'm saying to you, stretch yourself. If you have to, get out of your comfort zone. But run your race. It said here, he pressed on. Hello? You got to endure. Keep on going. No matter what happens. No matter if you fall down, get up and keep going. You know, in the Olympics several years ago, well, I've been more than several now, there was a marathon runner from one of the small African countries. I think it may have been the 60s, it may have been in the Olympic, Mexico Olympics, if I remember correctly. What year was that? I can't remember the year. Huh? Yeah. 68? Because I always watch the Olympics. And everybody had finished about an hour ahead of him or so. Everybody had finished. People were leaving the stadium. And all of a sudden, here he comes. He's barely able to run. He has got his knees are skinned, his elbows are skinned, he's got blood on his forehead. But he gets there and you got to run around the track. And the few people that were left were applauding him. And when he finished, I mean, a lot of people had given up. It's an hour. He's an hour behind everybody else. Ain't nobody else out on the track but him. That's it. The guy went to him and asked him, said, "Why did you keep running?" He said, "I kept running because my country didn't send me all these thousands of miles just to start a race. They sent me to finish a race." And let me close with that. God didn't start you on your race for you to quit. He started you on your race to finish. And if you'll run your race to win with God, you can say what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7-8. "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing." My word to you is that today is run your race. Endure. Keep on going. Keep knowing that God will help you if you will keep running. He'll help you. Get up if you get down, get up. If an obstacle gets in front of you, jump over it. If the devil throws something at you, take it and keep going. But just keep going. But just keep going. I've not called you just to start. I've called you to finish the race that I have set before you. If you will run the race that I have set before you, you will see that you will get to the finish line. And when you get to the finish line, I will be there with the reward that I said that you would have. Because you endured, because you run the race, I will be there. I will help you every step of the way. I will reward you with success as you run the race, and you will receive the final crown on that final day when you have finished your race. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what the Lord's saying. That ain't in these notes. That will come from the Holy Spirit. Anybody get anything out of this series? Pressing on. Stand up and let's give God the praise. Dedicate yourself to run your race till the end. You tell him you won't give up. "I will not quit. I will keep running." Keep praying, get. I'm telling you what to say. Dedicate yourself to run the race. God's got you running, knowing that the reward is there for you. Thank you, Father. We will do what you ask us to do. We will run the way you ask us to run. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads for just a moment, please. If you're in this place today, and you may not know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you're not in the race yet. That gets you in the race. If you're here and you have allowed something to stop you and you need to rededicate, you know that you need to say, "Okay, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my mistakes." Or you're here and you don't know whether you're in the race or not. All you know is you go to church. Well, going to church don't put you in the race. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, let me see your hand now, anywhere in this room, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate yourself. You need to have an experience that you know that you're born again. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody, anywhere. Well, praise God. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, if there be one person in this place that needs to rededicate their life or needs to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, I pray that you'll deal with them until they can't do anything else, until they stop and accept you. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Richie, you got anything you want to sing to this morning?
Absolutely.
All right, let's
sing. We are running, chasing after all that you are. We are running. Oh, cause all that you are is all that we want. We're running, chasing after all that you are. We are running. It's all that you are.
God has for us. That's what Paul said. Pressing on, going after it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, staff, go to the door so we can shake hands with people. Hey, connection team, go find my first-time guests and take them to that special place. Connection team, find a first-time guest, take them to that special place where they can get that special gift that we prepared for them. We want to thank you for being with us today. And like we said, if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and be with us. We're glad to have you with us today. Praise the Lord. Hey, tonight, don't forget, 6 o'clock, be here for this. Miss Lynette's going to do a special prayer time for our nation tonight. So come and be here. Bring friends with you. Amen. If you want to, hey, don't forget, go sign up for the men's conference out there. We want everybody to be here. This is not just for people coming in, but it's for you, men here. Ladies, go sign your husband up if they hadn't signed up. And remember all the other announcements. Thank you again to everybody that made the Harvest Carnival what it was. God bless. They're going to sing a song while I get back to my door. God bless. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock, right here.
No! We-